Before we sing that last verse, I just want to read something to you. If you have a Bible, if you just turn to James chapter 5. Now my voice is three quarters gone. I'll try to get rid of the other quarter tonight and give you all a break tomorrow. But James chapter 5. I don't know how many of you have ever been to a baseball game before, professional baseball game, professional basketball game. Anybody ever go to one of those? I don't know what they do in high school or college, but any professional event that I've gone to, at least, what's the first thing they do before the game? Yeah, they play or they sing the Star Spangled Banner, the national anthem. Every sporting event professional that I've been to, now when they play the national anthem, I stand, I don't kneel. And when they play it at Yankee Stadium, I sing. My son tries to hide or go the other way. But I'm not the only one. There are other people, too. But they always sing that song or play that anthem before a game begins, and then the game starts. And the game really has nothing at all to do with the national anthem. It's just kind of a formal thing that you get out of the way at the beginning, and you divorce it from anything that's going to happen after that. Last note is sung, and everybody yells hooray, and the teams take the field, and that's the end of it. And for some people, that's what prayer is. It's the thing you do at the beginning of the day, whether you like it or not. It's the thing you do because you're a Christian, after all. So you wake up in the morning and you utter a prayer. It has nothing to do with what goes on the rest of the day in your life. It's totally divorced from everything and anything that you're doing or that you care to do. At night, you might utter another God Bless America or something like that before you retire in the evening. And again, it just becomes a ritual, a form. And that's kind of something that is easy to fall into. Even for we Christians at Pilgrim Camp, you can get into a formality. It's what we do. It's what we do at the beginning of a meeting. So let's pray. It's what we do. We pray all the time for the campers. We pray for them, so we're going to pray again. And you can get into a vain routine. And some vain routines are simply praying certain prayers that even you find in the Bible. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And by the time you get that far, you're on autopilot, and thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. And you're almost asleep by the time you say amen. And you haven't thought about it, but you've said it. You've prayed it because, after all, that's the Lord's Prayer. We pray the Lord's Prayer. And then on and on and on. When we pray for our meals, I wonder if we ever really are giving, are we ever really giving thanks? Are we ever really stopping to thank Him for the daily provisions that we have, that we really take for granted because we live in America, forgetting that two-thirds of the world are trying to find their next meal and wondering where it's going to come from, some of them. We've got so much, and we really should be thankful. And when we return thanks, when we offer thanks to God, it shouldn't be something that's not part of our lives. It should be from our hearts, giving expression to God for what He has done, for who He is, for the good things that we've received from Him, or letting our requests be made known to Him. In James chapter 5, there's that familiar passage at the end of James's epistle. And we find he uses the illustration of a man named Elijah. We talked about him the other day. He was a great man. Remember, forget about what we remember. He was a great man of God and used by God. And here we read that he prayed. Now, you don't read it in James 5. You have to go back into the account in Kings. But you read that Elijah prayed because God gave him that prayer. He just didn't wake up one morning and say, hey, you know, I think I'd like to shut heaven up. And so I think I'd like it to not rain anymore. And so let me pray real hard. And let me pray real long, Father, don't let it rain anymore in Israel. And the Lord shut up the heavens because Elijah got a bright idea one morning. That's not how it all came about. God told Elijah. God put that into Elijah's heart. In other words, Elijah prayed according to the will of God, and he knew it was the will of God. He wasn't asking something outlandish, something so far into whatever had been. There's enough in the Word of God to help us to pray according to the will of God. And then when he went to pray again after 3.5 years that it would rain again, again, it says in back in the Old Testament that God told him to pray, go to the king and now tell him it's going to rain. Pray that it might rain again. And so what Elijah's actually doing is he's pulling down from eternity, from heaven. Elijah's reaching up to heaven and he's pulling down the will of God here on earth. Well, that's kind of what the Lord's Prayer tells us and teaches us. After this manner, pray. And you have all the petitions, and they're all good, and they're all in and of themselves things that we should think about, not in vain repetition, but really think about what we're praying. But among the petitions is, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Lord, you have a will. This is your plan. This is your desire. Now, we're going to go to heaven and get and ask for your will to be done down here on earth, where we live in our lives today, even as it's being done in heaven. There is something that, I don't know, you'll find it in these terms in the Bible, but brighter people talk about the conditional will of God and the unconditional will of God. There's some things that God is going to do, and you don't have to ask him to do it. It's just going to be done because God just is going to do it. You don't have to. The Bible says that God, because he's faithful, causes the sun to rise every morning, and he causes the thing to drop down below the horizon every night. I have never prayed in my life, dear Lord, help the sun to come up tomorrow. I've never asked the Lord for that. Now, maybe I should. Maybe we should pray those kind. Lord, help the moon to come out. The sun will come out tomorrow. It will. You don't have to pray that. God has, that's his unconditional will. He's going to do that. And there are a lot of other things. I've never prayed, Lord, I pray that the waves would keep on coming in at Rockaway Beach. Keep the waves coming in. Because I don't understand it, Lord, but it has something to do with the tides, and it has something to do with flooding the Rockaways, and I live not too far from there, and I know what floods are. My basement, Lord, no more. So, Lord, moon, tides, I don't have to pray that way. That's something that God just keeps on doing. It keeps on going. Lord, help the plants to give off what they give off so I can continue to breathe. So, Lord, I pray for all the trees at Pilgrim Camp. I pray for all the flowers at Pilgrim Camp. I pray for the grass. I don't have to do that, and neither do you. And we can go on and on and on and on and on. But there are some things that seem to me, at least, that God will not do until we go to heaven and pull down. No, not what we need to beg him for, but he wants to give to us, but it's conditional. I read in my Bible in 2 Peter that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody's going to find the Lord and everybody's going to repent. I know that's what it says in Peter. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come. But there are conditions, are there not? There are conditions that need to be met. God wills, desires that all men come to the knowledge of the truth, but there are certain conditions that need to be fulfilled before that's going to happen. You've got so many places in the Bible that I don't know, because I don't know what would have happened if it didn't take place. We talked about John 11 on Sunday morning when Jesus simply said to the disciples, roll the stone away from the sepulchre, roll the stone away. Now, I don't know the answer to this, but I wonder sometimes, now what would have happened if the disciples did not roll the stone away from that door of the sepulcher? Would Lazarus have ever come out? Would Jesus have gotten him out another way? I don't know the answer to that. I do know there was a condition, it seems, that needed to be met. Maybe it was just that Jesus was wanting to respond to faith. And it may have been meager and small, but it did require a small amount of faith to roll away the stone from a sepulcher where a guy's been dead for 4 days and everybody knows he's already rotting and decomposing and he stinks. So when Jesus says, roll the stone away, why? I mean, no. What for? But they did. And as they did meet the condition, Jesus met them. They fill the water pots with water, but, you know, nobody wants water. And number two, bear it out to the governor of the feast. Well, you know, I'm not, no. But if you meet the conditions, and Mary had already said to those servants, I don't really know what he might tell you to do. But whatever Jesus tells you to do, I just suggest you do that. Just do what he tells you. Meet the conditions. Step out in faith. I know it's water. You put the water in there, so you know there's water in there. But somehow or other, there was a miracle that only God could do. But they met. Could they have borne out from an empty pot what they needed at that wedding feast? Probably not. Would Jesus have found another way to fill it? I don't know what would have happened. But I do find over and over and over and over again in the Bible, there are certain conditions that need to be met before God can answer from heaven your request and your desire. And it needs to be then, I'm only using the word pulled down, not literally, prayed down from heaven according to the will of God. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets. This is Jesus talking. How often I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. It seems to me that that's what God wanted to do. I don't think he would have said it if he didn't want to do it. I would have done for you often I would have gathered you. But you didn't meet the conditions. You wouldn't. And I couldn't do what I wanted to do because you wouldn't comply with what I wanted from you. Now, when it comes to our prayer life, when it comes to our looking to the Lord and asking him to meet us, there are certain requirements, and I'm certainly not going to go through them all tonight. You never could. We know from the Bible that in one place Jesus says, you don't have because you don't ask. You don't have because you don't ask. Now that should be something that's easy for us to get over. We should ask. Now, why do I need to ask? He's going to do what he wants to do, and he wants to do it anyway. I'm not sure he is. I think it's sometimes conditional upon our asking. But then again, if you ask in faith, well, there's another criteria. When you come to God, you must believe that he is, and that is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Now, you say, there's where I get off the bus. I mean, I don't have the faith to ask him for that miracle. I just don't. Well, if you don't have the faith to ask him for the miracle, maybe just remind yourself, if I have faith as a grain of mustard seed. You've seen a mustard seed. It's not very large. It's a tiny little thing. You can hardly see it. One grain of mustard seed. You don't need an awful lot of faith. You need a step of faith. You need an act of faith. And maybe just the simple request that you're making before God is in faith. Maybe giving your requests or letting your requests be made known with thanksgiving might be just the faith required. Lord, this is the request, and I thank you because you hear me, and I thank you because you're able to answer. Maybe you want to throw in and help my unbelief. But thank God tonight that we don't have to be guilty of, well, you're not going to get anything because you're not going to ask anything. We're going to go to prayer in a few minutes. And every one of us, staff, guests, young, old, male, female, every one of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior have the same equal access to the throne of grace. I don't have an in that you don't have. You don't have an in that I don't have. We've all been invited the same way. Come boldly to the throne of grace and in request before my throne of grace that you might receive, pull down from heaven the request, the need. I'll answer if you pray according to my will, if you pray in faith, believing. Meet the conditions. And of course, we're not going to pray that we might consume it on our lusts. James talks about that too. You don't get anything that way. Lord, I pray that you save all the souls in Brooklyn because I want them all to come to my church or your church or our church or that church so that we can have the reputation of having a big church. Yeah, forget about that prayer. That's selfish. It's wrong. It's according to your own fleshly desires. Lord, we want you to save souls because we want your name to be glorified. Because you've come into this world to seek and to save that which is lost. And so we have the right to come tonight and ask the Lord in faith and in prayer. You know, it's not just in a prayer meeting time, although this is a good time. And if you're here tonight and say, oh, I don't really, you know, I'm not very good at prayer. Prayer is hard for me. Prayer is hard for a lot of people. Prayer I came into staff prayer the other day, and I mentioned it already, but I passed Brother Bob, and Brother Bob said to me, now we're going to go to work. And I knew what he meant. And he's absolutely right. Now we're going to go to work. We're going to get down on our knees before God, and we're going to go to work. And we're going to pray through camp and the needs of camp and the needs and the requests of the people of God. And we're going to go to work. And we only got, in that time, only a half hour, 45 minutes to go to work. And tonight we're having another half hour, or we'll have 45 minutes to go to work. But every one of us are going to go to work. We're not going to sleep. We're not going to now I could catch up on my rest, and it's been a hard... No, this is when we go to work, and this is when we pray. And so when somebody prays, and there'll be a lot of different people that will pray, I trust. That's what corporate prayer meetings are for. Brother Gardner used to say, when we come to prayer meeting in a venue like this, or at home in Ridgewood when we gathered on Monday night, everybody that's there should pray. Now, not everybody will. I realize that. Some of you won't pray because you just don't do that. I don't know why. That's another story. We can sort that out some other time. But some just won't pray. There's no dearth of requests. And if somebody prays what you were going to pray, that doesn't mean, oh, I can't pray. Oh, no, they took my prayer. I was going to pray for that. Now they took my prayer. And there you lose the victory. Pray it again. Pray it again. Ask. And keep on asking and keep on seeking. It's okay to pray it again. If you have a burden on your heart to pray for that request, pray it again. But another thing Brother Gardner used to say in a corporate prayer meeting is keep your prayers short. Because if you pray too long, you just put everybody else to sleep. They can't keep up with you. They can't have faith with you. You know, it's well that when one prays that we join our faith together. We join ranks. We believe together that God is going to meet that need. Brother Gardner used to say, not just because he said it doesn't mean it's right, but I think it was. Brother Gardner used to say, pray 3-4 times if you have to in the same meeting, but pray one prayer at a time and touch God with the rest of the people. And when nobody's praying, or you're waiting on the Lord, or you're praying silently, whatever, but if someone else begins to pray, immediately join faith with that prayer. That's what this is all about. When you go to your prayer closet, then you're not joining with anybody else, and you can just sit there for an hour or two or three and just pray and commune and have fellowship with God. But the Bible teaches us in 1 Thessalonians that we are to pray without ceasing. And, what does that mean? Brother Tom one time asked Brother Wannenmacher that question. Pray without ceasing, Brother Wannenmacher. What does that mean? What does that mean? And Brother Wannenmacher pointed his probably arthritic, half-bent finger at Brother Tom and said, just do it. Okay, that helps a lot. Just do it. Well, what does it mean, though? You know, obviously, we're not walking around. And prayer is not just making requests. That's part of it. It's not just interceding or supplications. There's an aspect of prayer that we listen to, is it not? That we receive the answers, we hear from heaven. Prayer is communion and fellowship with God, where Jesus fellowships with us and we with him. And we live a life of prayer. Now, I'm getting beyond the meeting tonight and what we're supposed to be doing here in a few minutes. But all day long we should be praying. I know all day long we're supposed to let the sacrifice of praise be in our mouth continually. That is the fruit. Well, how can you pray all the time and praise all the time? Just do it. Just praise the Lord whenever you can, however you can. Be in touch with him. And when it comes to prayer, always be ready to pray. Now, you don't have to, again, 24/7. I mean, it's hard to pray when you're eating spinach. It's hard to pray when you're conversing with the guy across the table. It's hard to pray when you're having a transaction in the boathouse. It's hard to pray in those times, but you're always in that attitude of prayer. And somebody walks by you on the road down to the palace, and you're reminded, pray for that kid. Pray for that boy. Pray for that one. Pray for camp, or whatever it might be. It's like breathing. Now, I don't consciously breathe. I don't think anybody does. I mean, I don't stand here and say, just hold on a minute, I have to breathe now. okay, I'm good for a while now, and, you know, when, oh, excuse me, I have to breathe again now. Okay, I'm glad now, and we're going to keep on going. I don't do that. You don't either. I can drive my car and breathe at the same time. I don't know if you can do that, too. Try it. Some of you better try. I can walk down the street and chew bubble gum and breathe at the same time. Multitasking. I can do practically anything that I'm doing during the day. Almost anything that I'm doing during the day and still breathe. As a matter of fact, I can do anything and everything that I do during the day. I can breathe without ceasing. And if I cease to breathe, I'll cease to live. You can pray without ceasing, unconsciously, just always in that attitude of prayer. You're not consciously always saying, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, Father, we pray that." Yeah, you're not, but all day long, prayer, 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 and supplications and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and those that are in authority, for your friends, for your neighbors, for yourself, for whatever. Prayer. How many times have we read in the book of Nehemiah? We're in the fourth chapter. How many times have we read, and he prayed, and he prayed? Sometimes we have the prayer. Sometimes there's no prayer mentioned because he didn't pray audibly. It was just an attitude of prayer. I prayed and I spoke to the king, and I told him what I needed for my travels over into Jerusalem again. I prayed and I said, well, how do you do that? Well, you live a life of prayer. The man was standing there with a spear in one hand, a sword in the other, a hammer, wherever he had the hammer, and at the same time he was praying. Can you fight the enemy and pray and build and pray? You'd better, because that's what we've been called to do. And so it's well that we learn to pray. That's why the disciples said, and it is an art and it is a skill to be learned, Lord, teach us to pray. And so is any one of you in trouble? It says in verse 11, or I'm sorry, 13, is any of you in trouble? are any of you not in trouble, maybe we should say. Yeah, I got trouble. You have trouble? I do. You do, maybe. He should pray. Oh, when I have trouble, I call Brother Tom. Well, you might want to do that too, because he might be the answer to your prayer. But when you have trouble, here, first of all, pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call for the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. And the Lord will raise him up. Now that word sick, physically sick, it's included in that for sure. I forgot how to say the Greek name of the word prayer in that context, but it includes a weariness, just tired, fatigue. You know, you can be sick physically, but you can be sick of your boss. You can be sick of your job. You can be sick of the kitchen. You can be sick of a lot of things. Weary of it. Is any of you sick? Anybody weary? Well, he says here, you should call for others to help you pray. And if you pray the prayer of faith, that prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise that person up, and if they committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Because the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man, it's powerful and it's effective. It availeth much. Elijah was a man just like us, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it didn't rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover a multitude of sins. Let us pray. Pray one, as it says here, pray one for another. Are you sick? Are you weary? Do you need help in prayer? Well, let's pray for one another. We should tonight, and there are a few requests that maybe you won't readily have come to your mind that we've been asked to remember, but we should pray one for another tonight. We should pray for the staff. We should pray for the kitchen. We should pray for Sister Edith. We should pray for the office. And pray for Brother Paul and Sister Aletha and Sister Elsie. We should pray for Brother Tom. We should pray that the Lord will bless the groundsman. I know Stefan has been here a long time at camp, and he's up early, and he's got a long day. And I know he's young, so, you know, who cares? we know that he's got the stamina and the strength to endure. We need to pray. Pray. Pray for Brother Bob. He's got another week. The man's on his knees all day. He's in here on his knees all day, and then he's out there on his knees all day gardening. And pray. Pray one for another. We need to pray for the boys down in the village, in the cottagers. We need to pray. And there are needs I don't know about. There are needs and requests that I don't know. And maybe they're not to be prayed out loud for everyone to hear that prayer. Maybe you know another waitress is having a tough time with this other. You don't need to air that out in public. Lord, help Sue. She's not getting along with Ellen. We pray that you'll make it right. And that, you don't have to do that. But pray about it. Bring in everything to him in prayer. Let your requests be made known, and let's get heaven down to where we are tonight, according to the will of God, and let's believe that we're going to receive the answer to the petitions that we desire from him. So the camp, the needs of camp, the guests that are here, every one of the guests, and by the way, those that have just come today and will be here the rest of the week, welcome. Staff members that have just come today that have been here at other periods, welcome back. We're here to help one another and to pray one for another. Maybe you talk to Sister So-and-so out there on that veranda thing or whatever that you swing on. And I don't talk. And then you go, some of you go in that room and you talk Chinese. I have no idea what's going on. But maybe you know what's going on. You can pray. 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 We've been asked to pray for a sick boy that tonight's in the infirmary. There are potentially two that are not well. One is not having a fever as of yet, and one has fever. And we want to pray that the Lord will help that fever to go, and the Lord will help this child tonight to get back to his room. I said to Sister Svetlana, oh, now your vacation's ruined. She said, no, it's not. I don't care about that. But I feel bad for the boy. And of course I do too. I want him to get back to his group. He's in there with the fever burning up saying, could I go back to my Survivor games? She said, well, if you survive this, you can go back to Survivor. But we want to pray for that boy. We want to pray that the Lord will touch him tonight. Is it God's will to heal the weary, the sick? I believe so. It's the children's bread. And I think we have a right to that altar. And so let's remember all that are sick. Sister Graber's name was mentioned. I heard from Carly right before the meeting, and she said her grandma's surgery went well, just ended a little while before the meeting tonight, and everything went well. Now pray for a good recovery and bills. I guess that means the payment of them. And so she's asking that we remember her grandmother. We want to continue to do that. We can pray over the things we've heard this week. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit upon us. Pray, pray, pray. Did we sing the last verse of 403 yet? Let's sing it. And as we sing it, or after we sing it, whichever is most convenient for you, let's, if you could, go to your knees. If you can't go to your knees, stay in your seats. But let's turn, go to our knees. And then I let my request be made known to you. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's touch God, let's unite our faith, and let's believe the Lord to answer our request tonight. That third stanza. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the despise or say thee, take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and cheer thee, thou wilt find a solace there. God answers prayer. Hallelujah. Help us, O God, I pray. Dear Jesus. here, Lord Jesus. Thank you that we can come to the throne of grace, O God, this night. Hallelujah. Give us prayer, O God. Teach us to pray. Lord, in faith, help us tonight, Lord, to lay hold of the hope. Dear Lord Jesus, you answer prayer. Hallelujah. You answer prayer, O God. We call upon you tonight, O Jesus. Hallelujah. We let our requests be made, O Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus.